Thank you, Deacon Brandon. Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to Christ Central. My name is Owen. I get to serve as one of the pastors here. If you're joining us for the first time today, welcome to our church. So delighted that you're able to join us on Christmas Sunday, or maybe today's the first time in a while. In that case, welcome back and welcome home. I'm glad you're back. And for me personally, this is an amazing Sunday because my entire family is here. That doesn't get to happen too often, so I celebrate that. Well, we're in a season of the year where it's traditionally known as Advent. Now, the word Advent means coming or arrival. And so Advent is a season when Christians around the world wait for Christmas, the day we celebrate the arrival, the coming, or the advent of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Now, Advent season consists of the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. So today is the last Sunday of Advent. And during the four Sundays of Advent, the church has historically reflected on the four gifts that Jesus brings with his coming, the gifts of peace and hope, joy and love. And today, on the fourth and last Sunday of Advent, we're going to reflect on the advent of love. Now, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at two passages today. They're both written by the Apostle John. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Now, John 3:16 is the most quoted and the most well-known verse in the entire Bible, but 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 explain and elaborate on John 3:16. So, people of God, this is the reading of the Word of our God. Would you please give it your careful attention? Because God himself speaks to us in the reading of his word. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You know, one of my favorite things about Christmas is the practice of giving and receiving gifts. You know, we think about what someone might like. We think about what might communicate, I see you, I love you, and then we go buy that gift, we wrap it up, we place it under a Christmas tree, and then on Christmas Day, we give it to the people that we love. And I think there's something genuinely good and beautiful about giving and receiving gifts. Gift giving is one of the practical ways that we show and express our love for the people that we love. You know, the story of Christmas is really the story of gift giving. It is a story of God giving the ultimate gift as the ultimate expression of his love for us. John chapter 3, verse 16 says it simply, beautifully, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Today on Christmas Sunday, we're going to meditate on this famous and familiar verse. It's because it expresses the center of Advent. It expresses the center of Christmas. In fact, it expresses the center of the Christian faith itself, which is this: God loved. And because God loved, God gave. That is the simple and profound message of Christmas, that God loves you. And because he loves you, he sent his son Jesus to save you as the ultimate expression of his love for you. And when you respond to God's love by receiving it, by believing it, it begins to change you. It changes you from a person who craves and needs love to someone who can now embody love and give love. It changes you from someone that you can stop living for love and you can start living from love. When you receive the love of God in Jesus, you begin to be able to joyfully reflect it to others in your life. Here's the outline for today's sermon, short and simple, 3 points. First, the source of love. Second, the gift of love. And third, the reception of love. And we're going to see how John 3:16 addresses all 3 points. The source of love is found in the first phrase, "For God so loved the world." You know, at the center of the universe is not random chance or a big bang or impersonal fate. At the center of the universe is God, and it's a God who loves. You see, love exists in the world, love exists in the universe because God exists, because God is love. Love begins with God. You know, a lot of us grew up in homes where love was assumed, but maybe not always expressed. Verbal affirmations of love might have been rare, but the expectations to perform were pretty clear. The message was, whether it was spoken or unspoken, you're loved, but you also have to perform. For those of us who have or had immigrant parents who sacrificed and risked so much to come to this country to give us a better life, we all grew up intuitively knowing that we needed to achieve. We needed to succeed. We felt the pressure of the hopes and dreams and burdens of our immigrant parents who gave up so much to give us a shot at the American dream. We grew up with a very deep fear of disappointing or bringing shame to our families. And we put pressure on ourselves to make our immigrant parents proud and to let them know that all their sacrifices, all their long hours at the store, all their hours at early morning prayer, that they were not for nothing, that it was not in vain. And so many of us worked hard. We worked really, really hard. Whether it was at school or sports or music, our jobs, our careers, we worked hard. And the more we achieved, the more we performed well, the more we succeeded, what happened? The more we were praised, the more our parents bragged about us, the more we felt seen, the more we felt loved. But if you didn't perform well, if you didn't achieve, if you didn't live up to the dreams and expectations of your parents or of your own, you felt like a disappointment because you saw the disappointment in the faces of your parents. You heard the disappointment in their voices. And we felt like failures. And we felt shame. And honestly, I knew people that I grew up with who didn't even want to try because it was too painful to try and then to fail. At least you don't fail if you don't try. And we quietly resented our parents for making us feel shame, for making us feel like nothing we did was ever enough, or maybe even making us feel that we're never enough. You know, as children of immigrants, we felt this tension, right? On the one hand, we knew we were loved. We felt loved because we saw the sacrifices, all the sacrifices that they made. They loved us. And also at the same time, we felt the unspoken pressure to earn or maintain their love by achieving, by performing well, and by succeeding. We felt like love could be something you lose if you blow it too badly. At times, love felt conditional, didn't it? You know, the best of human loves, whether it's the love of your friends, the love of your siblings, the love of your spouses or your significant others, or even the love of your parents, felt conditional at times. And maybe for you today, whatever human love you're chasing feels conditional, doesn't it? You feel like you have to earn it. You feel like you have to maintain it. You fear losing it if you blow it. But you know, the gospel tells us something radically different about divine love, about the love of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, for those of us who grew up in performance-driven, honor-shame cultures, this almost feels unbelievable. It's because we're so used to human love having to be earned or maintained either through obedience or success or beauty or respectability. We cannot conceive of being loved while we're failing. We cannot conceive of being loved while we're disappointing others. We cannot conceive of being loved while struggling with sins and addictions and moral failures. We cannot believe that we can be loved when we feel so unworthy of it and undeserving of it. But the crazy and the amazing thing about Christmas and about the Christian faith is this. It says that God's love is given before it's deserved. In fact, God's love is given to those who are undeserving and unworthy. God shows his love for you while you were still a sinner. God didn't wait for you to improve before he loved you. God didn't wait for you to get your act together and to clean up your life before he loved you. God didn't wait for you to make something of your life before he loved you. God loves you just as you are right now. Broken, sinful, messy, unsuccessful. Maybe your life didn't pan out the way you or others thought it would. Maybe you feel like the way your life turned out is a disappointment and a letdown to so many people. Maybe you feel like your life is stuck and you're headed nowhere. Maybe you feel like your parents are disappointed in you. Your spouse is disappointed in you. Your friends are disappointed in you. Maybe you're disappointed in yourself. Today, I want you to know God is not disappointed with you. When it feels like nobody loves you, when it feels like you can't love yourself, God does. God shows his love for you in that while you were still a sinner, not when you had successfully made yourself a saint. God loves you as you are. And this is what makes grace so amazing and so startling. You see, you don't deserve to be loved, and yet God loves you anyway. God doesn't love you because you're so good or you're so great. He loves you because he's so gracious. You know, you may not be lovable. That's okay, because you're loved. And being loved is so much better than being lovable. So the source of love is God, because God is love. Second, let's consider the gift of love. John continues in verse 16 that he gave his only son. If love is measured by what it gives, then the love of God is beyond measure, because God gave what was most precious to him, his one and only son, Jesus. You know, Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Jesus is God without beginning and without end. What that means is Christmas is not the beginning of Jesus' existence. He was always existing. Christmas is the beginning of his mission. And the mission of Jesus is to redeem sinners and to restore a broken world. And that's why the manger always points forward to the cross. That's why the wood of the cradle foreshadows the wood of the cross. The baby born in Bethlehem was born to die in Jerusalem. John chapter 3, verse 17 explains why Jesus came. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but why? But in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came into our world so that we might be saved through him. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 explains how Jesus saved us. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, all of us here today, no matter your age or your background, all of us are sinners. We've all sinned against God. We've all sinned against people who are created in the image of God. And the Bible says that we deserve condemnation and judgment for our sins. So Jesus came into the world to save us from the judgment of God that we deserved by making atonement or propitiation for our sins. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. You know, when Jesus bled, suffered, and died on the cross, he was receiving and absorbing the judgment that we deserved for our sins. He did it for us so that we might be forgiven of all of our sins, so that we might receive everlasting life. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we now have eternal life. And that's not just endless existence, but it's a restored relationship with an eternal God who loves us. You know, Christmas shows us the love of God in a beautiful way. We see the love of God the Father in sending his son Jesus, knowing full well that it will cost his son his life to save us. And we see the love of God the Son in his coming into the world, knowing that he would have to lay down his life on the cross for us. You know, Christianity says that no one is so good that they don't need the grace of God. And it also says that no one is so bad that they can't get the grace of God. You see, no sinner is too far gone, no prodigal is too lost, and no heart is too broken. Today, if you feel like a disappointment, if you feel like human love is conditional, and if you're wondering, does God really love me? Christmas answers that question once and for all. God loves you so much that he came for you. Now, there's a dad who lives in Virginia, whose son lives in New York. One early morning at around 4 a.m., the son called his dad and said that he had a rough night and that he wanted to come home. And so the dad immediately got out of bed, jumped into his car, drove up to New York. In fact, he drove so fast he got a speeding ticket on the way to New York, picked up his son, and came back so that he could rest and heal at home for a few days. If the son ever wondered if his dad really loves him, he knew in that moment, sitting in that car with his dad, how much his dad loves him because his dad came for him. If you've ever wondered if God really loves you, then wonder no more. Christmas answers that question forever. Jesus loves you so much that he came for you at a great cost to himself. So we talked about the source of love and the gift of love. Lastly, let's talk about the reception of love. Verse 16 goes on to say that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The love of God is offered freely to everyone, but it must be received. And you receive it by believing. Now, believing isn't just affirming the facts that God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world. Believing is receiving and resting in Jesus as the precious gift of God, as the ultimate expression of God's love for you. Now, this is where I think Christianity is so hard for people, because grace doesn't make sense to us. We're not used to getting something we don't deserve. We've always felt like we had to work and earn for everything we get. So it's hard for us to believe that God can love us when we've done everything to have him hate us. But faith says, I know I can't earn God's love, but I will receive it humbly, gratefully, and gladly. A love that I can never earn, but a love that he freely and graciously gives to me anyway. And because the love of God is something that you can never earn, that means it's also something that you can never lose. And once we have received the love of God by believing, once the love of God drops in our hearts and fills our hearts, it begins to change us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see, the love that comes down from heaven to us doesn't just stop with us, but it flows through us. God's love is not just a gift to receive, but it's also a gift to reflect to others in our lives. You know, they say, hurt people hurt people. I think that's true. But what's also true is this, loved people love people. We love because God first loved us in Jesus. And Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, the truest and the most beautiful mark of a church is not its theological precision. It's not the quality of its music or even of its preaching or the grandness of its building. It's none of those things. It's love. Jesus said that the world will know that we are his disciples if we have love for one another. So church, Christ Central, let the advent of the love of God in Jesus shape and change how you treat the people in your life. If you have a spouse, love him or love her sacrificially the way Jesus sacrificially loved his bride. If you have children, love your children patiently the way your Father in heaven has loved you and continues to love you patiently. If you're a part of this church family, love the members of this church family faithfully because they are your brothers and your sisters, your fathers and your mothers, and your sons and your daughters. And if you have friends, love them generously the way Jesus loved his friends generously. And if you have enemies, people who dislike you, people who hate you, even love them and pray for them, just as Jesus loved and prayed for his enemies. Let the advent of love move you to be a person through whom others might see and receive and experience the love of God. Ask yourself, who in my life needs to see or feel the love of God? Is it someone in your family? Is it someone in this church? Is it someone in your friend group? Is it someone that you had a falling out with? Who can you reflect the love of Jesus to? Carry that question with you this week and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power to love others well, the way Jesus loved you well. All right, let me conclude with this, the so what. You know, if you're here this morning and you're not sure if you're a Christian yet, maybe you came because you're visiting family or friends, or maybe it's Christmas Sunday, it's a nice day to visit a church, or maybe you're here because you're curious. It doesn't matter why you're here, I'm just so glad that you're here, because at our church, anyone is welcome. Whether you're a curious seeker, or you're a convinced believer, or you're somewhere in between, you're welcomed at our church. You don't have to know or believe or understand everything about the Christian faith to be here. We're just so glad that you're here. Well, let me say this. You know, there's a popular belief that following Jesus begins by fixing or cleaning up your life. And I want to tell you, that's a wrong belief. Following Jesus doesn't begin with you becoming more religious or even more spiritual. Following Jesus doesn't begin with you having all of your questions and all of your doubts answered and settled. That's not where the Christian life begins. Following Jesus begins with this. It begins with believing that God loves you. For a lot of people, I don't think it's hard to believe that God loves people generally, but it's hard to believe that God loves me personally. With my messy story, with the poor choices that I've made, with the mess that I've made in my life, the shame, the regrets, the things that we agonize over, the secret fears and worries that we have. You know, today, if you're prone to guilt and shame or fear, if you're prone to being hard on yourself, if you're prone to measuring your worth by comparing yourself to someone else and their success, or measuring it according to your own performance. Today, if you feel like you can never do enough, you can never be enough. Today, if you're to leave, I want you to hear this one thing on Christmas Sunday. Hear this. If anything, would you hear this? God loves you just as you are. Not because you're so good, not because you perform so well, not because you're such a success. God loves you because God chose to love you. And the proof of his love for you is seen in this, that God sent his son Jesus for you. The proof of God's love for you is seen in this, that Jesus left heaven and came for you. He came for you. He didn't come for nameless humanity. He came for you. He knew you by name. He knows your story. And he came for you. So today, whether this might be the first time you've heard stuff like this, or maybe you've heard it before, but you never really let it sink in, today, I want to invite you to receive the love of God as revealed in Jesus. Don't try to earn it. Don't try to prove yourself worthy of it. Just receive it as a gift, humbly and thankfully. And let your heart receive and rest in a love that you could never earn, a love that you can never lose, a love that you can never outgrow. This is where the Christian life begins, by receiving and believing the love of God for you in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gifted you his one and only Son, so that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the story of Christmas. That's the story that changed the world, and that's the story that can change your life if you'll receive and believe it. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us. And you demonstrated your love by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world and to be our Savior, who laid down his life on the cross for our sins, so that if we would but believe in him, we will not perish, but have everlasting life with you. Oh, Father, if there is any man, woman, or child in this room who has not yet received your love, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, that you would open eyes and hearts to receive this love that can never be earned, but a love that can never be lost. Oh, Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, the most precious gift we could ever receive. It's in his name we pray.